Buongiorno.
Music sans frontières.
Music from around Australia and around the world. Tuesdays, 12 till 2 p.m.
Full Umbrella there from the glorious Kavisha Matsela. And that's a track from The Fig Tree. And here in the studio at 3CR, we are celebrating International Women's Day. Therese Virtue here on Musique Sans Frontières, and with me, Leah Healy.
Hello, everyone. How are you? It's nice to be here and to have both of us in the studio. It's a rare occasion.
Indeed. And we have a number of guests coming in and talking to us on the phone over the course of the program. Let's go to another track now. This is from the voice of the wonderful Ilaria Crociani. It comes from a CD called Radio Successi. And the band, alas, is Mr. Amore. But we're playing it for you for this beautiful singing from Ilaria Crociani.
Che finisca questa sigaretta, tu mi dirai di sì, oppure forse no, puoi pensarci bene, non avere fretta, hai tanto tempo ancora, il tempo d'una sigaretta. Guardo pigramente le spire profumate, lo vedi, fumo a piccole boccate. Guarda come brucia questa sigaretta. Potevi dire sì, e invece hai detto no. Muore un dolce sogno, nato troppo in fretta. Io me ne vado, amore, e spengo.
Questa sigaretta.
Στην ξενιτιά δάκρυα ρίξατε πολλά στην καινούρια σας πατρίδα. Αχ, μες στην ξενιτιά δουλέψατε πολύ σκληρά. Μες όλα αυτά με μάθατε να ζω και γι' αυτό σας ευχαριστώ. Μάνα και πατέρα, τρέξατε σαν τον αέρα για να βοηθήσετε μες στα κοινά. Η αγάπη σας από μια καρδιά, ελπίδες όρο στην ξενιτιά. Τα όνειρά σας να γίνουν αλήθινα. Αχ, μες στην ξενιτιά δουλέψατε πολύ σκληρά. Μες όλα αυτά με μάθατε να ζω και γι' αυτό σας ευχαριστώ.
The oceans with a suitcase in each hand, the tears still fresh on your cheeks as you both set foot in this foreign land. All the hardships you've endured, unknown territories to persevere through, and in all the chaos you taught me how to live.
Αχ, μες στην ξενιτιά δουλέψατε πολύ σκληρά. Μες όλα αυτά με μάθατε να ζω. Και γι' αυτό σας ευχαριστώ.
And that was Anthea Sideropoulos, another track from The Fig Tree, and the track was In a Foreign Land. And I think on the line we now have Anthea ready to talk to us on this International Women's Day on Music Sans Frontières. Anthea, can you hear me?
Therese, I can hear you.
Fantastic.
And hello to everybody and happy International Women's Day.
Indeed. Now, some of our listeners will have heard that track in the past, but some of them may not. Tell us a little bit about it, Anthea.
The song Foreign Land, or Mes stin ksenitia, which is the Greek translation, is a song that I wrote, well, from a poem when I was a teenager, or just on to quite young for school. And it was resurrected at a time when suddenly it was okay to come out from our boroughs and say, okay, well, we want to be visible like migrants at the time. And so the song became an ode to my parents first, but then to every migrant that finds themselves away from home for a better life for them and their children. In a nutshell, you know, you've sailed across the oceans with this case in your hand, tea still fresh from your cheeks, as you both set foot in a foreign, and you want to make it your own land.
Indeed.
Well, to be safe and secure and have a happy life, basically, which, unless you're in that situation, it's hard to explain. You know, sometimes I say walk in, to understand someone, walk in their shoes. And I was walking in my parents' shoes because I was born here. But I inherited a lot of the pain when I started working in the community. It wasn't just my parents. There was a lot of angst around settling, the lack of language services, the lack of translation services, and not only assistance to learn the English language, but, you know, when you find yourself at a hospital and there's no assistance.
It was
a difficult time.
And I think your parents' generation was very significant in improving the situation for migrants in this country, Anthea.
My parents were, my dad especially, because his English language was quite good. He knew how to speak English. And so he was called upon. And I think that he became quite prominent in the Greek community, and then because of his English language, he was involved in a lot of assistance and a lot of services. And this is just pro bono. This is apart from him working during the day, because there was a need. And he joined the local council at Collingwood in 1966, and then they had a rotating system, so everyone got a turn if you stayed on the council, of course. It was different in those days. And he was mayor, so he was the first non-English speaking mayor, having English as a second language, which is what we call now.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he was quite active on the community, like many people were at that time, to mobilise, you know, workers, to assist people who were quite lost. Otherwise, they'd have to be like blind with blinkers and go to work for 12 hours and come home and then go do it again the next day, you know.
Yeah.
They were hard times.
They were hard times. And, yes, I remember a friend who came as a school kid saying to me that she couldn't stand the noise at school, and the noise was everybody speaking around her in English, a language she didn't understand at the time. Yeah. Anthea, you picked up music through lots of different directions, didn't you? But we have a track that of yours that we're going to play very soon, and maybe you would like to tell us about this. This is I Am Woman, and you're singing it in two languages. Can you just give us a bit of background on that?
Yes, I wrote that. When my dad passed away, that's when I delved into the Greek community here in Melbourne, which I'm recently been voted on to the board, I was inspired by these women and women like yourself, Tariq. Can I just put you in the mix? Because, you know, you're such a generous person. You've done so much, and for artists and for me when I met you, you know, coming from someone in a different, you know, I wasn't Australian enough to be Australian, and when I went to Greece, I wasn't Greek enough to be Greek. So I'm a real hybrid, and, you know, the Boite has been, like multiculturalised Victoria, if I can say that, a welcoming, embracing organisation of music, of everybody's music, because that's really what brings everybody together. So I wrote this song in homage to all the Greek Australian women and the Greek women that were involved on the Greek community board, on the Greek community brotherhoods, and when I say brotherhoods, they're little enclaves, different towns of Greece own properties in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And they're little, you know, monocultures, if you like. That's great, but it's also not inclusive, not purposely not inclusive, but that you're stuck in your own little community, so there's no influence outside what's going on. And anyway, these women were amazing. Kathy Alexopoulos, Chris Pavlidis of today, Maria von Vakinu, who's now the Member of Parliament. She was a teenager and my dad was Member of Parliament. My dad rose to that position for the seat of Richmond, which is Richard Wynne's seat now. And Maria von Vakinu, Jenny McCarkos, these were wonderfully powerful women. And I ended up writing this song, I Am Woman, and I was really proud, and it empowered me as a young person at the time. You know, it empowered me to move on, because I think it's a trauma that we have, and it's a silent trauma. I see it as that when we're ostracized, or when it's a form of bullying as well, I think. I have to do a talk, actually, at the Democritus League on Sunday on bullying for the International Women's Day. And I realised that, and I thought, well, anyone that's oppressed is silent. Their voice is taken away. If you see someone who is encouraging, and I love that word because it has the word courage in it, and it gives you the confidence to basically exist, regardless of your colour of your skin, the gender that you are, you know, the class, I don't believe in classism now, but it's prevalent in society. And homeless people are looked down upon as if it's their fault. You know, we can fix these things. So International Women's Day is a brilliant concept where we can look at these issues and see how far we've come, but also see where we still have a lot of work to do.
Indeed, Anthea. Let's go to your track, I Am Woman, and thanks so much for calling in today.
Thank you for having me on the program, and happy International Women's Day to everybody.
The same to you.
Thanks, Anthea.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
La 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 la
stand strong. On Mother Earth, soil, I am woman. I am she, and I am woman. I'm a survivor, a mother, daughter, and I am she. And I stand strong on Mother Earth, soil, I am woman. I am she.
That damn oil that gets us into trouble.
I am woman. I am she. Tanto sogna chitarra, già non meno alcanzi la linda cara.
Tam, kisemi tekleri taş și mai târdă tam tam. Silent și silese mai târdă tam tam. Tiler tam aș dupa și mai târdă tam tam. Tiler tam aș dupa și mai târdă tam tam.
And that was a track by Fiora Sulemanova. And we have a new guest in the studio. Zulia Kamalova is with us. And she's going to tell us a little bit about that track and about lots more. Zulia, welcome to Music Sans Frontières on International Women's Day.
Hello and happy International Women's Day. Yes, Flora Sulemanova is one of my inspirations. She's a Tatar singer, and as probably people don't know, I come from Tatarstan, which is in Russian Federation. And as you can hear, it's quite a different sound there, Turkic language, and that was actually a happy sort of dancey tune. There's also lots of kind of somber, more somber, melancholy ones. But I just chose her because I thought I'll talk about a few of my influences before we talk about my music, which is great women from all around the world.
I loved that track, Zulia. It was great. Was that track in Tatar?
Yes.
Can you tell us what it was about?
Oh, I don't think it had made much sense. I wasn't paying attention, to be honest, to the lyrics, but I think it's about dancing and singing.
Yeah, right. No, it's really interesting. I know you know that I dabble in Georgian singing, and there are lots and lots of songs that are actually hardly any words in them, just lots and lots.
Yes, tam tam doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's just like few vowels and consonants.
I think you come from quite a musical family in Tatarstan. Is that right?
Well, I don't know. I think every family is musical if they sing songs around the table. Like, I know the Tatars do that, and you know, I grew up with both my mum and dad and their families sang, and I guess that's what I was inspired by as a child, you know, even though I might not have understood that, where people sit around the table after some gathering and just pass the book around and, you know, pick one song or another and just sing it. Sometimes somebody solos. My uncle was good at the button accordion, and but otherwise, they were not really by any means trained musicians, just folk, kind of enjoying the folk traditions, because they were from the countryside.
Yeah, right, where folk traditions are much more kept alive. Mm. Rest assured, there was no singing around the table in the household I grew up in, even though there had been previously. You know, my grandfather was a fiddle player, and my grandmother played a bit of the piano, but it just got moved on in my generation. Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe not everybody sang around the table, but I guess because that's what I saw. And when I went to the country, my parents moved to a little town, and there were some Tatars there as well. But when we went to the country to go to a festival, they had this festival, I still do, in springtime. It's called the Festival of the Plough, like it's an agricultural festival. And they do all these sports games. You know, it's quite common around the world. But at night time, there was always the evening sabantuy, as they called it, and which was about singing. And at first, it was the little children who were allowed to have a go, and then, of course, quickly they had to be sent to bed. And then the adults performed afterwards. But which was much more fun, I guess, for the adults. But as a child, I was really, really interested in performing, but I was too shy, you know. And because you got a prize, you know, not that I cared about the prize so much, like. Piece of like a little towel or a piece of soap, and it was actually quite
That's cute.
And so, Zulia, you've got are you still
what
answering?
Well, yes, I'm answering. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I'd cut you off mid-sentence.
No.
Okay, so you've brought in lots of some beautiful music. It's very colourful from the CDs, I can see.
Yeah.
What other sort of music do you have with you? Well, like,
yes. My influence is broad, and I guess I've lived in Australia for a long time now. So when I came in the early 90s, I didn't really know much about music from around the world, a little bit, but not a lot. And I was lucky to be introduced to all different types of music, and also, you know, going to festivals and seeing, like, you know, which is interesting because now the Boîte is where I was able to perform one of my first gigs, you know, like outside of Tasmania where I used to live then. And also the festivals that I, you know, will go to and love, like Woodford and Port Fairy and the National. And so seeing music from around the world made me realize that actually I have also something to offer. And also being inspired. And I guess over the years I've developed this, my own style, which wasn't so much just the traditional, as you will hear later, but also inspired by various ensembles and groups from Australia and around the world. And the one I picked next is quite an unusual group. They're called Think of One. Unfortunately, they don't exist anymore. They're from Belgium. They were from Belgium. And they did this interesting collaborations where they worked with the Moroccan musicians that for a few albums, and then they worked with Brazilian musicians. And I thought what came out of those collaborations was quite beautiful. I just want to tell you this next track is from an album called Marrakesh Embalages Ensemble, where Think of One went to Marrakesh and played with Gnawa singers and three singers from the group Bnet Huriat, and they're female singers. So yes, and so this is quite a, I don't know, I really love this combination of Western music with Berber music and African Gnawa. So it's track number 4. Hopefully it's not too slow to get going, because sometimes they go on for a long time, these tracks.
That's okay.
Thank you.
Think of One, the name of the band, and Alwa, the name of that track. You're tuned in to Musique Sans Frontières on 3CR, 855 on your AM dial, or 3cr.org.au if you're listening online. Leah Healy and I, Therese Virtue, we're presenting the program today, and our guest in the studio for International Women's Day is Zulia Kamalova. Zulia has been performing in Australia for many years now, and she's recently taken up a position as director of the Boîte. And that track was her choice. Zulia, that I loved that track. That was kind of wild.
Oh, it's wild. I highly recommend these guys' records. They make quite a few. As I said, they don't exist anymore, but you can find about 8 of their albums out there.
Terrific. Yeah. Think of One, folks, if you're looking for them. I'm sure you can just Google them.
And, well, so then eventually you arrived in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe can you tell us, or I don't know if you've got to that part of your story yet, but sort of how you became, you know, the performer from just singing around the table with your family to...
I will be here all day. But I started busking on Salamanca markets because I was poor. I didn't have any money. And, so I met some people through doing that. I joined the Wilderness Society and did some protesting in the early 90s and met Martin Tucker, who you may know, who's a very accomplished, very diverse musician. And so then I played in an African band. I played jazz with Karen Leeuwenkamp. I did opera at the conservatorium. So anyway, I was just looking everywhere and sort of trying to find out what it is that I wanted to do. And my first album was called Journey of Voice, which was in 9 languages. Anyway, so eventually I settled on Tata, which is my native language, of course. And it was very... I thought obscure, and you know, who every time I perform, I have to explain what it is. But you know, slowly, people get to know. And it was just something very, you know, unusual to be doing. Even though I found my listeners here to a degree, but I also keep going to Tatarstan, and they're quite, I guess, surprised and interested in what I'm doing here in certain circles because it's unusual. And I'm doing something else with Tata music, and as I said, it's probably because I was exposed to all these different styles and genres and traditions that I decided that, well, I just didn't want to just perform it like in a traditional way. I wanted to make it my own.
It's interesting, isn't it? There is no Tata community in Melbourne, as far as I know?
Not really. There's a few people, but there is a Tata community in Adelaide, which is quite strong.
Is it?
Yeah, and they do have those festivals once a year, like the ones I was talking about.
Oh, a spring festival.
Yeah, like a agricultural festival. Yeah, no, not really. But, you know, with similar kind of games and singing and just, it's a celebration. It's a get-together.
Oh, that's interesting, Zulia. And tell me, do they celebrate it in... our spring, the southern spring, or in the northern spring?
No. It's sort of, I think, they shifted. They used to do it in summer, but then it was too hot.
Yeah.
I think they try different times. I'm not sure exactly what time they settled on that right now.
Right. Yeah. It's always a conflict for people from the northern hemisphere when they come here and they want to do seasonal festivals.
Mm.
It's very difficult. I think that's also interesting, and I think... well, I think actually that we're really lucky in Melbourne to have a Tata singer.
Well, you're lucky or something. what I'd like to play next is Lasse de Sella, who is one of my probably most favourite singers of all time. And unfortunately, she's passed away quite a few years ago now, at the age of 37. But the 3 albums that she made have made a remarkable impression on me. She's... from Canada, but of Mexican origin. So she sang in English, Spanish, and French, because I think she was from French part of Canada. And yeah, I really love her music, and I chose this song, which is kind of has the Mexican influence, I suppose, and it's called La Frontera. And I thought it was apt for your program because it's music without borders. However, because there's a lot of, I don't know, I guess I'm just making a little bit of a broad statement here. For some of us who have moved countries, and you talk to a lot of people like that, who moved countries and crossed that border, you know, and what does it mean? You know, it means a lot of things to different people. And I just like to read the translation of this because I thought that was beautiful. Today I return to the border. I have to cross over again. It's the wind that commands me and pushes me to the border and erases the path which disappears behind. I won't read the whole thing, but let's hear it. La Frontera. Track number 6.
Thank you. What a beautiful piece of singing, Zulia.
Yes, beautiful.
Now, Lhasa Dasela,
yes,
is that her name?
Yeah, it's an unusual Lhasa as the Tibetan capital. I think her parents were hippies.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Lhasa of the sky.
Ah, right, yeah. And she's resident in Canada.
She was. She's no longer.
Oh, she's died.
Yeah.
Well, that's a loss to the world of music.
A huge loss, yeah.
I just love that voice. Yeah, yeah. And I love the poetry of what she was saying. The wind blowing away the path behind. Doesn't blow away borders, though, does it? You are tuned to 3CR. This is Music Sans Frontières with me, Thérèse Virtue, and Leah Healy and Zulia Kamalova at the moment. And you can catch this program online for another week. We're celebrating International Women's Day with the music of women, local and overseas women, and that's why we're talking to Zulia Kamalova at the moment. Zulia, your biggest project, I guess, has been, when I say biggest, your most enduring project has been Zulia and the Children of the Underground. And with that ensemble, you've travelled internationally quite a number of times and to many places in Australia, I believe. Do you want to tell listeners a little about that?
Yes, well, we've been together since 2004. So, yes, we have done a few things. We've recorded 4 albums together. I have done another 5 without them as well. So there's been various projects going on. But we are still active, not as active as we'd like to be, but we're going to the National Folk Festival, which should be nice for a change. Yes, hopefully nothing changes between now and then.
Oh, yeah.
So we have been preparing for that. And yes, we really enjoy playing together. It's just it's a bit hard to tour, you know, especially with women musicians, people don't realize it's so much harder, especially after the children are born. So my daughter was born, well, now she's 15, but when she was born, things got a lot harder. And I did try, I toured with her when she was 1, and then I toured with her, you know, and that really wasn't good for me in the end, you know, like I didn't have enough support, even though, because my partner is also in the band, so I couldn't just leave her behind like some people do. Or like family, obviously, we don't have family in Melbourne. One time when we had a funded tour, we could bring a nanny with us. But, you know, it's not very common, and the touring is expensive in Australia because of the distances. And so, you know, slowly, especially when she started going to school, like that sort of thing had to stop. And that's why I've been doing projects with other people and not so that I didn't depend on my partner. I should have sacked him, you know, really, so that he could stay at home with the child. Obviously he's an integral part of the ensemble, so we can't do that. And it's fun to tour when you can, when your partner's with you as well. So anyway, so that's just how it is. And I went to La Mama Musica, had a show yesterday dedicated to International Women's Day, and women were, like, performers were talking exactly about that, how hard it is, you know, being a musician and a mother at the same time and things like that. Now, obviously, it's easier. She can even come and do our merch for us, my daughter. Not that she wants to. She hates it when I get her to do it.
I hope you give her a commission.
Well, you know what? I come from a background where I feel like family should help you without requiring so much. But anyway, so no, she does get paid sometimes. But yeah, she has to go to school, so we can't tour very much anyways these days. And we'll see what happens with it all. But so yeah, there's a couple of songs. Unfortunately, I was not thinking very clearly. The songs that I picked to play of my own don't have Children of the Underground, but my other collaborators. But I'm going to perform these songs with the Children of the Underground as well, because the collaborators are in Europe and they can't come here. So I don't know if you put in this CD in. This is my most recent album, 6 Days Loving, that I did with a collaborator in, well, he's Dutch, but he lives in Greece. Now everything's mixed up. And it's in Tata language. So, yeah, it's quite a, I don't know, I really like this. I've given it to you. Yes? You have got it?
We're just hunting for the CD.
I think you've put it in, yeah. And the track is number 5. And it's a cycle of songs based upon a poetry cycle of a beautiful Tata poet, to Yıldız Minulin, a female poet. And it's about falling in love for 6 days and then having to let go of that feeling, if you can.
Thank you. Mama.
That was the voice of Zulia, and that track from a recording made in collaboration with an artist in Europe, Zulia. And poetry. I loved it. We couldn't hear the poetry, of course, not speaking Tatar.
Yes. It's a little bit hard with poetry. You can find the translations on my website if you really want to. But yes, the Michiel Hollanders is my collaborator there, and he the one who plays all the instruments on that track. We did it online, obviously, just passing tracks backwards and forwards, but we did get to play in Tatarstan a couple of times with this project, and that was really nice to play this material live. Now we play this material with the Children of the Underground as well, yet we don't have a recorded version of that yet.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's an interesting new thing, isn't it, this business of recording online?
Well, I've been doing it for years. If you get to play the other track, that was also from a collaboration in another country. It was in the Netherlands. And I quite like working that way because there is time in between. Like sometimes it drags on, but you can think about it. Whereas if you're recording in the studio and it's usually a short process and you have to go in and do it because it's quite costly. So, you know, there's pros and cons in either process, but I quite enjoy that discussion as you go along and co-produce something with somebody else elsewhere.
Indeed. So we have one more track of your choice queued up.
Yeah.
Maybe you'd like to tell us about
this. Yeah, so look, as you know, the news are pretty dreadful at the moment from Europe, and I feel devastated for all involved, for people in Ukraine, for people in Russia who are against the war, and it breaks my heart. And it's easy to say these things, but I'm actually very thankful that I've got this job at the Buat now because I feel like I can do something, but otherwise I'll just be doom scrolling and, you know, like this is what a lot of people are doing, I believe, and my friends are really struggling. And obviously people are being hurt and it's awful. And I guess I feel like we just have to, I don't know, do something about it, the least that we can do. And that's create harmony in any way we can here in Australia and, you know, give support to people who are in need and show our solidarity. And so I've chosen a track from a Ukrainian band called Dachabracha. And I guess people who have come to Warm Adelaide when they performed here a number of years ago would have seen these wonderful women who had these crazy costumes. I don't know what they're up to at the moment, but it's a great band.
It's a great band. Mm. I saw them in 2016 at WOM Adelaide and they killed me. They were so wild. Mm. It's just fantastic. So, Zulia, let me thank you for coming in and being part of the program today. It's been terrific to have you here on International Women's Day and thanks for the choice of music too.
Thank you.
This is Dachabracha. Thank you.
I'm here for now. escapando y en el río y en el mar se esconde. Se enamora de la tierra, se enreda con sus raíces y en los frutos de su amor. ¿Quién te ha ti creado? Hueles a inocencia y a viento mojado. Agüita bendita, ¿quién te ha ti creado? Hueles a inocencia y a viento mojado.
Agua, from the lips of Yaki Vajejo. And Yaki has a gig coming up. She's launching a very interesting single. She's working with Tando and a woman from East Africa, I think.
Yes, the woman is, find her name.
This is a really interesting...
Zembul Gurma, Ethiopian-Australian singer and dancer. Zebul Gurma.
And this is a really interesting collaboration between these three singers. It's taking place on Thursday. The launch of this is taking place on Thursday, the 17th of March, coming up pretty soon. If you're not out celebrating St. Patrick's Day, then you should go along to Yaki's gig.
It's at the Northcote Town Hall, presented by Multicultural Arts Victoria. And the concert is called Tres Cantos.
Three songs. It's either three songs or three singers, I'm not sure, under those
circumstances. It's three songs, yep.
Leah, can you tell us what time it starts?
Yes, I believe it starts at 7:30.
Great, okay. So get along to the Northcote Town Hall, folks, for Yaki Vajejo's launch.
Sorry, 7 p.m. It goes from 7 till 10 p.m. My apologies, at the Northcote Town Hall. Tickets are $35, $25 concession. It sounds like it's going to be a good night. It's part of, you can go on the Darabin website to buy the tickets, or I guess on the Northcote. Sorry, it's not the Northcote Social Club.
No, Northcote Town Hall, you said.
Northcote Town Hall, good. I don't know why I said Social Club. Okay, so Northcote Town Hall, 189 High Street, Northcote, yeah.
Great. So, Katsuyaki Vijayawa in concert with a couple of other very powerful women. You're tuned to Music Sans Frontières here on 3CR. Let me just remind you that 3CR has been representing women's voices to the world for a long time. And if you didn't have any other reason to become a 3CR subscriber or push money in 3CR's direction, that's a good enough reason. So just bear that in mind. I'm Therese Virtue. Leah Healy is my co-presenter here. And we have another guest in the studio. So Ellen Chan is the guitarist in Moaning Lisa. And in a couple of minutes, we'll go to a track from that band. Before we do, we're going to hear from the very new release from Ajat Kwai. Ajat Kwai is a South Sudanese singer who's been in Melbourne for many, many years now, and lots of people are familiar with her work. She's released a new recording album.
Yes, and EP, apparently.
The track we're going to play you now is called Rabina Mana.
Like the way you go, but 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 the way you go many lights, all of them red. I can't see it.
Hi, my name's Pilar Aguilera and I'm 3CR's chairperson. I'm urging you to become a 3CR subscriber. We need to keep independent, radical, dissenting voices on air. Social change doesn't just happen, we need to nurture it. We desperately need to hear alternative ideas that allow us to organise, build community and change the systems that continue to oppress us and destroy the planet. Put your money where your mouth is. Become a member. Subscribe today.
Join 3CR for a day of special programming in celebration of International Women's Day on Tuesday, the 8th of March.
With a stellar lineup featuring 24 hours of international current affairs, music, arts, activism, culture, and much, much more. This is a unique broadcast that you won't hear anywhere else.
We'll bring you the usual celebration of non-conforming feminism. No leadership breakfast here. Just 24 hours of grassroots radical discussions by women and gender non-conforming presenters, producers, and musicians dismantling the patriarchy, taking collective action and imagining the future of feminism.
This year's celebrations include a street party in the lane alongside 3CR from 4pm to 8pm in Little Victoria Street. There'll be music, performers, food and friends. Can't make it? You can also listen live. This is a COVID-safe event.
So join 3CR in celebrating the amazing women and gender non-conforming people in your community from midnight Monday the 7th of March until midnight on Tuesday the 8th of March. For full details, head to the website 3cr.org.au/IWD2022.
course, you are tuned to Music Sans Frontières here on 3CR. We have a new guest in the studio, as I said, but I have neglected to back announce the tracks we were listening to earlier. So let me tell you that we heard from Kat Canteri, Here For Now In Your Head, from When We Were Young, her album. That followed that wild track from Daka Braka. And we heard also from Nela Trifkovic, Mi Corazon, My Heart. And that was before we started talking to Zulia Kamalova. Let's go now to Ellen Chan. Ellen, perhaps you'd be interested in telling us a little bit about that track we've just heard.
Hello, Therese. Hello, Leah. Thanks for having me. And before I go into it, I'd like to say a happy International Women's Day to all my women-identifying friends and my gender non-conforming friends as well. So stoked to be here. So that track we played just before was called Too Many. I thought that was a really good track to kind of put into this program because we're currently on tour at the moment, and the sentiment of, you know, I guess having a lot of people in front of you on stage and meeting all these people from different cities and being at the airport and just being surrounded by too many people, too many things, and just the hustle and bustle of the life of a touring musician.
Well, yeah, I really enjoyed the track. I think it was the first track I've heard from Moaning Lisa, so it was a good introduction track for me. And tell us about your band. I mean, I'm really interested to hear more, like what's it, who's in it?
Yeah.
What's it made up of?
Yeah, so the band is a four-piece band, consists of me, Ellen, I play lead guitar, also Hayley Manring on bass and is a harmony queen. We've also got Charlotte Fasigi, who is lead vocalist and plays guitar as well. And finally, we've got our drummer Hayden Fritzlaff, who does the ba-dum-ba-dums.
And how did you guys come together, or how long have you been as a band?
Yeah, so I guess I was listening to like Zulia and Anthea's segment earlier on, and if I go back into a little bit more about myself, maybe. So I was studying at university, Australian National University. I was studying jazz guitar there, and coming out of high school, I was kind of just being guided by my guitar teacher. I didn't know what I really wanted to do. I knew I wanted to play music because that was kind of the only thing that got me through high school, in a sense. Like, that was my sense of belonging. Like, you know, and I was always, like, kind of a bit of an outcast in that way. And, like, going into uni, I found myself in that similar situation, you know, being trying to play jazz guitar and learn all the repertoire, but not actually being able to fully invest and immerse myself into it. You know, and as a woman, like as the only woman being, I guess, playing guitar at uni, there was a lot of, like, I guess, imposter syndrome of, like, not being good enough, feeling inadequate and all of that sort of stuff. And
you were the only woman in the guitar course.
Yeah, for jazz guitar, yeah.
Oh, dear. Really?
Yeah, so I guess you can kind of imagine, like, what that would have been like. And, you know, not being able to immerse myself into it, I just wanted to play, like, rock music, really. And how I really got through the courses was just, I guess, amalgamating the two together, doing like a fusion of jazz and rock music and trying to like get away with, you know, doing that bit of jazz just to mark off that criteria.
So the challenge was finding out how much they'd let you get away with.
Yeah, pretty much. And I've had feedback on it, and then they're like, you didn't play enough jazz. But I was like, okay, whatever, I passed the course. And then I guess there was also the contemporary ensemble at uni, and that was, you know, people kind of being off in their own groups and playing I guess, like pop music, rock music, yeah, all those sorts of things. And I kind of just met Charlie and Haley through that.
Right. So you met them from university?
Yeah. Yeah. And we were all kind of doing, you know, like music in kind of different ways, you know, with different majors and stuff like that. But I found my people, and that's kind of where it begun, really. Yeah, just trying to find that sense of belonging in that sphere.
So did Moaning Lisa's begin at university, or was it subsequent to you finishing the course?
I was during university.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's quite a long-lived ensemble.
Yeah, I think since 2016 now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so you mentioned you're on tour at the moment. What is that, a Victorian state tour or?
No, so it's a national tour. We've played Sydney, Melbourne, Ballarat, Brisbane, so far, and this weekend on Saturday we're actually heading to Adelaide.
Oh, lovely.
And then finally next Saturday we'll be at Transbar in Canberra, and that'll wrap off the tour. So, yeah, really stoked to be able to be touring now, like coming out of, you know, the whole pandemic and restrictions and everything like that. I think the good thing about it is just like the when the album came out in October, you know, I guess people know the repertoire like well now, and like when we're playing shows people are singing along, and I'm almost like, well, all right, let's just be like the house band and we'll have like a karaoke, like a Moaning Lisa session.
That's very interesting, because I was curious about how you managed the last 2 years as an ensemble, you know, as a group, Ellen. But you've, across that time, you've produced a new album.
Yeah, it's really weird talking about it now, because it kind of feels like we just, like, travelled in time to, like, now, and the 2 years did not exist, in a sense.
But did you record across that time?
Yeah, we did. So we were actually recording in Sydney at the time with Ben Moore at Harvest Recordings in Sydney. And a few days into it, we were reading the news one night, and then they were like, okay, they're closing the borders and we got it. Like, we've got to make a snap decision right now whether we stay and finish off the album with Ben or we go back to Melbourne. And eventually we decided we'd go back to Melbourne, and like then we ended up recording the rest of the album with Candy, who's Callum Newton. And it worked out really well in the sense that I guess like we had more time up our sleeves. Like we were able to think about things and just like sit with it for a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than being I guess restricted by, I guess, the time constraints of being in the studio, being there for like a whole week or two, and being like, okay, this is the purpose, this is the goal.
Yeah.
And investing all of our energy into that.
It's really interesting that you say that, because what Zulia just said was that the collaborative work she did with somebody in Europe gave her that sort of space you're talking about,
yeah,
because there's time between you're laying down a track and getting it to someone else and then they're thinking about what they'll do on it and sending it back.
Yeah.
And there's time for review, whereas it is a bit of a pressure cooker when you're all in the studio together and you're paying lots of money every hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do agree, you know, I guess there's pros and cons to each of those approaches.
Yeah.
I think the album turned out like the way we wanted to represent ourselves in a studio recording.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Shall we go to a next track?
Okay, maybe? Cool. The next track, I believe, is Inadequacy. This one, you should go check out the YouTube video of this. It's pretty cool. We filmed it with a couple of wrestlers out of a backyard. And just watch it.
Okay. Well, for those that aren't on YouTube right now, here's the track. It's Inadequacy by Moaning Lisa.
It swells and drains all at once, and you can tell my brain is not.
So that song, it really reminds me of like 90s grunge female bands, maybe. I know there's there is a man in your band, but the voice is female. So I love it that you've captured that. And, yeah, I really enjoyed that song. I was going to ask, have you won an award or you were nominated for the National
Live Music Awards?
Yeah.
I think Hayley was nominated as this is going back a while now. I think she was nominated as like a live bassist of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
And she won it or? Oh, okay. Well,
I think it's great to be nominated.
Being nominated is very
bloody huge, honestly.
It is, yeah. And it's still something to put under your belt. And was that while you were still at uni do you think?
No, this was out of uni.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm excited to see what else, to see Moaning Lisa like get on bigger and better stages and be like the rock band of Australia.
Yeah, I can't wait to just get out of like, Australian tour overseas.
Yeah,
and do like all of the stuff that, you know, the bands envision that they're gonna do. And yeah, I'm just hanging out for that.
Is there talk of a tour? I mean, obviously we've had pandemic, but
yeah, the vision is definitely there, and the want and need to do that. I think we're all busting to do that at some point. It's kind of just when it is safe and viable to do so, and yeah, getting those opportunities to do so as well. You know, maybe like a support slot with a band overseas. So yeah, I think that would be awesome.
I can feel it. I can see it already. I can see you guys on the big stage. Yeah.
Ellen, I would just love to get, we haven't got many more minutes on the program, so we can't go into this the way I would love to, but I'm interested in your songwriting process. I take it all the material's original, is that right?
Yes. Yeah? Yes.
So how does it happen?
How does it happen? It happens in like a variety of amalgamations, like between, you know, band members. Like I know from the beginning, Charlie had a lot of her own repertoire that she was performing as a solo artist around Canberra already, and then she brought that into the band, and we turned them into band songs.
Yeah.
And then from then on, yeah, I guess we arranged them, and then from then on, like the songwriting process, you know, became more collaborative in terms of like writing together during rehearsals. And, you know, obviously during the lockdown, it was a bit hard to do that. But, you know, a lot of people were probably, you know, approaching it in the way that they could only do it, which was through the computer and, like, sending off demos to each other and all of that stuff, you know, uploading things to a Dropbox folder or something like that, and then just sharing it around and, like, seeing what ideas come through from other people's heads and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's really all a mixed bag.
That's very interesting. It's, yeah. And so then do you arrange in real time?
Yeah, a lot of the time we do that. And I find that for me, that writing guitar parts, I tend to like to do it kind of by myself.
Yeah.
And not being in the pressure of like a room of people kind of waiting for like an aha moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Judy Small, who worked as a songwriter around the sort of folk scene for a long time. So what did she say? Songwriting is 2% inspiration and 90% sweat. 98% sweat.
Yeah.
If you sit around waiting for the aha moment, it'll never come.
Yeah. I agree with that. And, yeah, sometimes you just got to be, like, playing your instrument and kind of just playing them in ways that you normally wouldn't to find some inspiration, you know, or even, like, for me, a lot of inspiration comes from maybe, like, making a weird sound on the computer.
Yeah.
And then building it off from there because, you know, because I guess songwriting can happen in so many different ways. It could just build off from, you know, a chord progression or a melody, but also like just from a little, like one sound or like, you know, a random like flute.
Yeah, right. So if just, I asked you, I mustn't keep asking questions. If I asked you which came first, the words or the tune, what would you say?
Oh, wow. I don't know if I'm the right person to answer this question. The words or the tune? I'm just going to step outside of Moaning Lisa for a second and just be like, you know, a Moaning Lisa enthusiast rather. So I don't know too much in depth of the creative process and just pretend that I don't know that. I'm going to say probably the chord progression first and then like singing mumbo jumbo over it and then building off from there.
And finding the words.
Finding the words afterwards. And I think, yeah. I find that it's probably more about feeling at the time that whoever's writing the song, what they're feeling at the time. I think that's what comes first.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And just, is there any more shows? I know you said you've got Adelaide this Saturday.
Yeah.
Where is, for, well, if there's anyone listening in Adelaide, where's that show?
We're playing at Fat Controller, I believe.
Oh, Fat Controller from... Thomas the Tank Engine, I'm very familiar with that.
Oh, is it?
With
oh,
my
I
little
don't.
Two-year-old at home. but, okay, yeah, great. And is so there's any Melbourne shows or that's they're done
oh,
for now?
Oh, yeah, those are done for now, but I'm sure that there will be, you know, some more coming up in the next few months. Yeah, we're not going anywhere.
Well, so check it out, listeners, if you enjoyed Moaning Lisa and... listening to Ellen today, we'd hope you look them up online. They're on Instagram and Facebook with Moaning Lisa Band, is it? Or
yes.
Just Moaning Lisa.
If ML Band on Instagram.
Yep.
Yep, if you use Instagram. Yeah.
And Moaning Lisa on Facebook. I found them. so I think you guys can too. Go on
Moaning Lisa Band on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, and look at the YouTube look up Inadequacy.
I promise we won't disappoint you. It's a good video.
Yeah.
Great.
Thanks so much for coming in, Ellen. It's really nice to have you.
No worries. Thank you so much.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Thanks, Ellen. Let me just before we go to another track remind listeners that this weekend WOM Adelaide will be happening in Adelaide in Botanic Park. Lots of really exciting artists, including the Brazilian ensemble. I interviewed the drummer some weeks ago now on Music Sans Frontières. The Port Fairy Folk Festival in Western Victoria is coming up. I suspect that they still have a few tickets available for sale. Yaki Vajejo and her co-singers are launching at Northcote Town Hall on the 17th of March, 7 o'clock for that one. Tonight, 3CR is having its International Women's Day street party in Little Victoria Street, just round the corner from the station. If you can get here between 4 and 8 p.m., do come along. Moaning Lisa is on tour across Australia. Look them up and get to a gig when they hit your town. And we'll go to another track now. Thank you so much for being with us, Ellen, and thanks again to both Zulia and Anthony Sideropoulos for the time they spent on the program. Let's go now to a track from Aysu Çoğur. This is called Nuri. Thank you.
yaşadan bile cahillerin önderi. Sen kendini bozma, bir gecelik dünyaya kaptırma yüreğini. Ne olur dinle beni.
International Women's Day at 3CR includes all self-identified women and gender non-conforming folk. Hear our voices and only our voices. International Women's Day on 3CR Community Radio.
You're listening to 3CR's International Women's Day special broadcast.